Hello, everybody. Welcome to How the Hell Did I Get Here From There, my podcast. That should tell you a lot. I'm Dr. Yvonne Kay, and I'm delighted to be able to speak with you on a variety of subjects. So probably weekly, we'll have this podcast, and I would speak on different subjects for a while and then invite a guest to come who I believe is really very, very interesting on the subject. So it'll be anything from laughter roaring to PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, grief, addiction. I mean, I'm all over the place. So I know some of you had listened to me for years, and I'm very grateful. When I was on WWDB Radio in Philadelphia from 1982 to 2000, which I absolutely loved. However, radio's changed dramatically. So here I am. I'm very grateful for this opportunity. I'll give you a little background so that you know what you're in for, so to speak. I have very little filter, so I'm very honest and I'm very straightforward. And if I think something's funny, I'm going to laugh. And if you don't, I can always apologize. How about that? So how the hell did I get here from there? Oh, my Lord, started a very, very long time ago. I found that what happened to me all those years ago has really sustained me today. And that's what I hope to help you. I really hope to help you through any kind of trauma you've been through to achieve your goals. Or just feel good about life in general. I mean, one day at a time, 1 minute at a time, that's what it is. And I find that the more that I talk about it, the more people respond to it and understand that they have the possibilities of doing and being exactly as they want to be. Are there challenges? Yes. In my case, there are words. There are words I don't like, because I believe that certain words will then go down to your heart, your soul, and make it happen. So we need to flip those. I don't like should, and I don't like ought to, because the same as should. I don't like must, and I certainly don't like strong. But I need to take a little while to explain why I don't like strong. And that goes back to how I came from wherever I came. I used to be strong. And I would listen to people. I'm going back 60 years. I used to be strong. And so nobody thought I needed anything. And I'd be taking care of everybody. And then I would say to myself when things happened, "Where's my shoulder to cry? Who's going to listen to me?" Everybody thought I was strong because that's what my body put out. This aura of strength. She can do anything. Well, yeah, I've overcome a lot, and we'll hear about that later on. But the thing is, you need to let people know who you are. And this is an exercise I love to do with people. Make a list of your strengths. Make a long list of your strengths. Let me give you a few examples so you know what I'm talking about. Some of my strengths. I'm very funny. I listen. I can say no, and I can say yes. I have created boundaries, which are essential, especially in my line of work, which I'll tell you about. And I find that every so often I'll get like a whammy, I call it, that says, it's time you stop and took care of yourself. And I have a challenge with that. That's another word. Nothing's hard, nothing's difficult, everything is a challenge. And you can all rise to a challenge. So this is my professions. I have several because I get bored easily. The first one that's the real love of my life is grief. I'm a grief specialist. I work with families who've lost children to death, people who've lost beloved to death. I work with people who have illness like cancer. I work with veterans. I love veterans. And as I was raised in a war, I have PTSD also, post-traumatic stress disorder. Although the man that I admire very much is my therapist. And he said, you've got present traumatic stress disorder. So you see how I go. Now, you need to know I have a grasshopper brain. I'll start talking about something and I'm going to pop off to something else. And that's the way that I think. But you can catch me. And I would love you to look at my website so that you can contact me through my email or read some of my blogs and make responses. And be assured that I will always get back to you. If you email me, or if you phone me and leave a message, and the answer is, have any kind of day you like I always say. So let me give you the information. My web is www.yvonnekaye.com. And my email again is my name, lowercase yvonnekaye33@gmail.com. Now on the website, you'll get my phone numbers too. So feel free to give me a call if there's something in the podcast that you hear that you want to respond to. And we can certainly address it the following week. No question about that. So this is what I've learned. I've learned that the main thing that people want is to be listened to. It's that simple. People who are struggling, whether it's through grief, I'm an addictionist or addiction, I'm an interfaith minister, which means we accept all religions and some who don't even have any. Atheists, agnostics, I listen to them all because they've got something they believe in, even though it might not be the same thing as people say they, quote unquote, should believe in. So I'm in recovery myself. I have 50 years in recovery, so I answer that also. And I am living proof that it can be done. And I find that when people can relate to other people, it helps enormously. You know, I'm a therapist. I think therapy is very good and medical is very good. As long as you know what you want and you can speak up about it, I help with that also. And what I found is that if you take your circumstances and find somebody else, it's going to help you a lot. So the therapy is help. However, I'm a huge supporter of support groups, whatever they are. The Compassionate Friends, which is for people who've lost a child to death, which includes the friends of, grandparents of, so on. All the A's, AA, GA, OA, all the A's. And the Anons, Al-Anon for the families, Gammanon for the families, Naranon for the families. Because, you know, when you speak to someone who's gone through that, and sometimes all you need is another person to nod their head, it's perfect. Look, I can't resolve people's challenges. That's got to be a communication with me or a therapist or a group. But if you're willing, you can do anything. People say, oh, I can't do that. So immediately I say, change that can't to won't, because that empowers you. You've decided you won't do it, and that's to you. So let me tell you a little bit about how my life turned around. I am a child of war, as I said before. 6 years, from 1939 to 1945, and then we had another 5 years of fascism in England, which was terrifying. And in that terror of being bombed and hearing the guns go and all that kind of thing, I met people who were so kind, I couldn't really believe it. Now, we were severely rationed, like one egg a week, 1 ounce of butter a week. There's a whole list. And when we were bombed out and homeless, there were these people who came out into the street and took us into their home. They had little more than we had had and took care of us. And I looked at those people when I was 8 years old. That's almost 80 years ago. 8 years old, and I thought to myself, I want to be like that when I grow up. And I am. So we need people who inspire us. We need, in some self-help groups, we need sponsors. We need mentors. And I will tell you about my primary mentor. When I first came to this country, I came with 4 small children, an absentee husband. And what happened was I became dangerously homesick. Yep, I understand that too. Dangerously homesick. And a woman came to see me who was the mother of a friend of one of my children. I have 4 of them. And she said, I have a book here. I want you to read it. And I said, I'm not reading it. So she came back the next week. And I said, not reading it. Came back the third week and said, I've spoken to your children and I'm not leaving until you read the book. Oh, I thought, how do I attract these people? It's probably because I'm like them. So she gave me this book. It was called Man's Search for Meaning by Dr. Viktor Frankl, and I'll spell his name. V-I-K-T-O-R Frankl, F-R-A-N-K-L. And in this little book, which sold millions and millions, he wrote things like, people make conscious decisions on the way they feel. I didn't know that. Conscious decisions? When all this has been inflicted on me, it wasn't my idea to leave everybody I knew 3,500 miles away and come to people I didn't know. But I read the book. And I read about his life that prompted him to say that, to write that. He wrote that in Auschwitz concentration camp. He'd been in Buchenwald. His pregnant wife, mother, father, brother, had been taken to other camps where they all perished. They took the baby away. Of course, the Jewish women were not allowed to have babies. So he lost everybody close to him that he loved. And he made that decision to stay because the United States had offered him a visa, but not his family. And he went to see his father one day, who was sitting in what was left of his living room. And there were two pieces of marble on the table. And he said, where have you been? And his father said, well, I walked through the synagogues today that are all rubble, but I found these two pieces. And it was from the Ten Commandments, honor thy father and thy mother. And at that point, he decided to stay and did not come to this country. So back to the book, people make conscious decisions on the way they feel. And when I realized when he wrote that, I realized everything I read in that book was all about choice. And I didn't know that either. Now, let me give you an example of choice and how simple it is, because this is one of my favorite stories from the book. He was laying tracks, railroad tracks in Auschwitz, bitterly cold, no gloves, shoes with holes in, and he felt a kind of strength from somewhere. He didn't know what it was. He didn't look into it. And you know that when it's bitterly cold, and you touch steel or iron, your skin sticks to it. So he had trouble getting away. And suddenly, a little bird flew down, landed on the track, and looked right up to his eyes with a big brown eyes. And he chose to believe that was the spirit and soul of his wife. He could have said, that's just the bird, but he didn't. That's choice. That's how simple it is. It's not always easy, especially when you're grieving. But think about that. And then toward the end of the book, when the Allies liberated the camp, he wrote about how many of the prisoners refused to come out. Trust. How would they trust anybody? Of course they wouldn't. They were told so many lies. But eventually they did, slowly. And that book, I have a copy in my briefcase from 1968 when I came here that's falling apart. And then one day a young nurse said to me that she followed me when I lecture. She said, you know, you lecture about so many different things, but every time you bring Viktor Frankl into it, no matter what you're talking about. And I said, he lives in my heart and his teachings do too. And she said, well, why don't you go and visit him? And I thought, never thought of that. So one week I lost my voice and my children were thrilled. I was so happy. And I was sitting on my bed and I've got three diaries here, 3 years. So I thought, well, if I call, maybe in the third year, I can get to see him. He was lived in Vienna in Austria. So I phoned up to talk to his secretary's mate, whatever, house person. And he answered the phone. And he said, Viktor Frankl. And I went, oh, because when I get excited, I sound like a chipmunk. And so he said again, Viktor Frankl. I said, oh my God, Viktor Frankl, you have no idea what you've done. I mean, you spent my life. He said, I can't understand English quite that fast. So I calmed down. And for 15 glorious minutes of my life that I will never forget, I spoke to this man. And I asked him, did you know how popular that little book would be? And he said, no, he didn't have a clue. He was very surprised. And I said, well, I just want to tell you, it's changed my life and it changed millions of people's lives. Because you taught us about choice. You taught us about life. You taught us about grief and pain and staying with it. So this is what I'm saying to all of you now. If you read the book, it's not an easy book to read. It was a concentration camp. But the emphasis is on choice. And when I was talking to him, that's when he told me about his father picking up these two pieces of marble. He asked me, well, what do you do? So I said, well, I work with people who are in grief, mainly families who've lost a child to death, and addicts, people in recovery, veterans. And he said, stop. Just like that. He said, stop. He said, and you admire me? Well, I nearly fell off the chair. You can imagine. This mentor, this hero that had been such an effective strength in my life was telling me he admired me. I said, what can I do for you, though? And he said, just spread the message. And I've been doing that for many, many years. And I'll continue to do that for many, many years. Because it's so important that when you grasp something like that, you know, we talk about sponsors and mentors. When you grasp something, you can really learn from that person. It's extraordinary. And as a result of that book, I've learned to admire courage. And that's what I see in my patients. People who've lost a child, there's nothing worse in my opinion. Their courage is enormous. And the way they reach out to other people, cancer patients, the same thing. Or anyone that's had a threatening illness that reaches out to other people simply because they know what they're going through. My beloved husband died the 5th of June, 2015. And I've had to push Viktor Frankl over a bit because John isn't in my heart. He is my heart. So I am able to respond to people who've lost someone to death in that way. And I use my experiences, the war, the immigration. I'm a migrant, having to adjust, being in recovery, being a care sharer. That's a word I created because I don't like caregiver and I can't stand caretaker. That drives me right around a twist. But care sharer, when I was taking care of John for 10 years with his three cancers, I got as much from him as he got from me. And also, if any of you are in that situation, make sure you write letters to each other or cards. I have a tin here with all his cards and letters, and I read those quite often, and they really, really help. The other thing is that when you are grieving, do it your way. Don't listen to people who are going to tell you how to grieve. Or even worse still, get over it. I had this wonderful young woman who had the worst stillborn birth I've ever, ever known in my life. And I took her to a meeting of the Compassionate Friends. And it was just before Mother's Day. And she cried. And she said, am I a mother? There were 40 people in that room. One voice. All of them together. Of course you're a mother. You'll always be a mother. And she said that people had said to her, oh, you're young, you'll have another one. Like that didn't matter. That baby didn't matter. So I have a friend in the Compassionate Friends who's been on to me for years to say, why don't you write a little book about what not to say? I'm thinking about that. I really am seriously thinking about that because people say the most ridiculous things. Oh, my Lord. And so, listen, this is my worst curse word. Stupid. My worst curse word. So you've heard other words I don't like, and I will remind you as we go along, because I think they're important. Remember, you know, that what you say to yourself goes down here into your heart. There you go. It manifests. Don't let it manifest negatively. Now, here's an important point. Just in case you think that I am happy and joyful and lovely all the time, I'm not. Let me introduce you to the roller coaster. My friend Edie, who will be one of my guests shortly, talks about the roller coaster when you go to the fairground and you see the roller coaster and you get on it and you go up, you go down. up you go down, you go up, you go down, and then you get off. With the emotional roller coaster, it's totally different. You don't know when you're going to get on. You don't know when you're going to go up and when you go down. But if you befriend that roller coaster, as I have, it gives you permission to be how you are on that day. Remember choice, okay? Remember choice. So when you're on that roller coaster and you're down, be down. Don't fight it. A lot of people do all kinds of things. Yes, you can meditate. You can listen to your favorite music. Call a friend, whatever, of course. But don't push yourself. Because if you don't deal with the down, it's going to make you ill. In my first book, I wrote in it about children. And I wrote, small children don't verbalize, they internalize. And they do. Most of the therapy I've been through is to deal with my childhood and what I repressed. The terror of being bombed. The terror of knowing that my little friends, some of them were killed. 14 members of my family were in combat. One was taken prisoner by the Japanese and came back from Japan. He was 6'2", weighing 110 pounds. He was a walking skeleton. Three of my cousins went to Dunkirk, two came back. So there's a lot of grief in my family. My cousin Lawrence in the Royal Air Force, who was my big brother, he protected this little girl who was so afraid, was murdered just before his 21st birthday. So I know grief, and I also know how to deal with it. And I embrace it because it's a message. I don't fight it. I'm not proud as I used to be. I could have won an Academy Award pretending everything was fine. That's an F word I do not like. Frustrated, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. Fine. Sometimes you're fine and sometimes you're not. And you owe it to yourself to love yourself enough to not be fine sometimes. I could get these messages. Would you mind taking a day off? Just take a day off. And so I am going to. I mean, I'm on call over the holidays because families with little children want to have fun, whatever. And that's great. So my time is up almost, and I would love you to be able to listen to the podcast. The remarkable Lisa, who is doing all this for me, and I owe her a lot, will tell me how to let you know, or she'll let you know. She's a genius. She'll work all this out. Yeah. You can check my website, so when we know we're going to be broadcasting, and what we're going to be broadcasting, and who the guest is, all that kind of thing. But let me tell you something, with everything I've gone through, I'm truly blessed. And it's people like Lisa who make that so. So blessings on you. Have any kind of life you want. I'm not responsible for your life. And we'll talk soon.